If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
The way to transform yourself is through your work. Now, I know this runs counter to our prevailing cultural prejudices. Work is too ugly, too boring, too banal. Self-transformation, we think, comes through a spiritual journey, therapy, but most of these are ways of running away from ourselves. Instead, through our work, we can actually connect to who we are instead of running away. And by entering that slow, organic process, we can actually change ourselves from the inside out in a way that's very real. It's easy to be lazy if you don't have any emotional connection to what you're involved in. When I lived in France, I had spent years learning French in the university, but it never really sunk in because I wasn't paying deep attention to it. It didn't mean so much to me. But there I was in Paris. I had to struggle. I had to survive. I had to get a job. And suddenly, because I had to do it, because it was important to me, because it was necessary, because it was what I call death ground. Either learn French or get the hell out. You're not going to be able to survive. So your laziness is something that has to do with you. You're not connected to something deep enough. You don't feel the necessity. You must welcome wrong turns and mistakes. They make you aware of your flaws. They widen your experiences. They toughen you up. If you come to this process at a later age, you must cultivate a new set of skills that suit this change in direction you'll be taking and find a way to blend them with your previous skills. Nothing in this process is ever wasted. In any event, the goal that you are after is learning and the acquisition of skills, not a fat paycheck. Now, look at what happens to you as you adopt this very different, internally driven mindset. Because you are headed in a direction that resonates with you personally and emotionally, the hours of practice and study do not seem so burdensome. You can sustain your attention and your interest for much longer periods of time. What excites you is the learning process itself, overcoming obstacles, increasing your skill level. You are immersed in the present instead of constantly obsessing over the future, and so you pay greater attention to the work itself and to the people around you, developing patience and social intelligence. Without forcing the issue, a point is reached in which you are thoroughly prepared from within. The slightest opportunity that comes your way, you will now exploit. In fact, you will draw opportunities to you because people will sense how prepared you are. I maintain that true creativity comes through a process. This process begins with the critical first step of choosing which field or subject to pursue. Creative people are those who opt for career paths that mesh with their deepest interests and inclinations. They feel a deep personal need to discover something about the world, to solve a problem that perplexes them, to invent something. Having begun on the right career path, the first step, the next step is to go through an effective apprenticeship, absorbing all of the rules and standard procedures in your field and accumulating the maximum amount of skills. Now, I believe we all go through an apprenticeship phase of one sort or another. And at a certain point in this phase, we reach a kind of turning point or crossroads Either our minds will become active and experimental with the knowledge that we have accumulated, in which case we will slowly awaken creative energy, or we will become prisoners of that knowledge. We remain conservative and conventional, our minds just simply rotating between A, B, or C. Well, masters are those who take the first path, and after years of generating creative energy, they reach a point where they have a complete feel for their subject. They have internalized it, they have mastered it in the history of creativity. Some of the most important discoveries, inventions, and innovations within a field come from people who are trained in a much different field and who have an outsider's approach. Louis Pasteur was a classic example of this. He was trained as a chemist and mineralogist, so he brought a much different way of thinking to the subject of medicine and germs, a method that was infinitely more creative. There are two important reasons why outsiders generally have a creative advantage. First, they are less steeped in and burdened by the conventions of the field that they are attacking. They ask a different set of questions. They approach problems from unconventional angles. And second, they are often trained in totally unrelated fields, and so can make interesting and creative connections between two very different forms of thinking. We lose our sense of wonder and curiosity as we get older. We tend to have the feeling that we know everything. And this is extremely dangerous, and it severely limits what we consider. And negative capability is basically very much related to that childlike feeling of wonder. Children don't sit there going around at the age of six feeling like, I know what that cloud up there means. They don't, and they open themselves up to all kinds of possibilities. How you generate motivation, I guess, in your daily life or in your work. We use language for things that are kind of abstract, but motivation, if you want to boil it down to something, is just basically your energy levels, your excitement levels. That's what makes you motivated. So let's just reduce it down to what creates motivation in your life, in anything. It's excitement. It's the desire that you have inside of you to do something, okay? So if you have a job that doesn't excite you, and believe me, I've had plenty of those jobs in my rich history before I wrote the 48 Laws, so I understand that feeling. If a job that doesn't connect you, that you don't like, it's very difficult to stay motivated in that circumstance, and I understand. So the thing that you have to do in those situations is you have to find something to be excited about. You have to find something that you can learn about the situation. So the key to your 20s is to be learning, to be constantly learning and your mind opening and learning skills. And you're going to learn skills and you're going to keep learning if you're excited by what you're studying. If everything is boring, if it's just law books or finance, etc., your mind will close off. But if you try things that are within that parameter of what you were meant to do and you're excited by it, you'll be developing different skills. You need to create that excitement of life. So I want you to bring your youthful energy, your fun, your openness to life. And I want you to give it a little bit of discipline, a little bit of enough focus. You listen to friends who tell you what's cool and not cool. At a certain point, you can almost become a stranger to yourself. And so you enter career paths that are not suited to you emotionally and intellectually. Your life's task, as I call it, is to return to those inclinations and to that uniqueness that marked each and every one of you at birth. At whatever age you find yourself, you must reflect back upon those earliest inclinations. You must look at those subjects in the present that continue to spark that childlike, intense curiosity in you. And you must look at those subjects and activities that you've been forced to do over the past few years that repel you, that have no emotional resonance. Based on these reflections, you determine a direction you must take: writing, or music, or a particular branch of science, or a form of business, or public service.
I want to shed another light is when you use Sun Tzu's The Art of War, yes. As you say in here, It is true victory is bloodless. There is not even a battle that needs to be fought.
Well, Sun Tzu was a genius, and the reason. I mean, his book has stood the test of time, 2,500 years. He's still read to this day. And he has a concept where he defines the art of war, which I believe will never be surpassed. And he says the art of war is basically to win with minimum bloodshed and minimum violence. An army that goes in and mows down the enemy and kills a lot of people and destroys a city simply creates an escalating cycles of violence. So the whole game in war is to win with the minimum amount of bloodshed and the minimum amount of violence, and a strategist must try and get as close as possible to that ideal. I think that has incredible relevance and application to any struggle, any fight you're going on in your life. You need to win with the minimum amount of resistance. The thing about warfare, which I think is applicable to life, is the closer you're able to get to reality, to what is really going on in a situation, to what people are doing to you or what is happening around you, the better your strategies will be. And the main block that you have to understanding, to being as close as possible to this reality, is yourself, your mind, your emotions. You tend to see what you want to see in the world. Your feelings of hatred or love or lust or greed, they're constantly coloring what you see in very subtle ways. And so the process for a strategist is to get rid of as much of that emotions that is coloring your viewpoint and getting the capacity to see the world for what it is.
I tell people, when you go see a movie or you read a book, let's say a movie, and you feel like the movie is casting a spell on you, it's drawing you into the story and it's having an emotional impact on you. And by the end of the movie, you're moved, or you're crying, or you're laughing, or whatever it is, that is a form of seduction where you've allowed your psychology to be penetrated by a director, a writer, or whomever, and you're seduced. And it's actually an amazing power that humans have. The problem is some people are closed to seduction. They don't want to be seduced. They're not interested in other people. I find seduction to be a very social phenomenon. To be a great seducer, you have to be interested in people.
So we can't escape the desire to somehow be connected to something larger than we are, because we feel trapped in our bodies, we feel trapped in our mortality. It's deeply human. And so there's the true sublime, there are false negative ways of getting that, right? So addictions are, to me, a kind of false sublime, because they give you a sense of, kind of they titillate you, they give you an excitement, right? Or a lot of movies are kind of like that. They're manipulating your emotions. They're making you feel like there's something weird, strange out there, but it's not coming from within you. So the difference between the false and the real is, are you being passive and manipulated? Or are you actively engaging in the process? Are you being actively social? Are you using those empathy skills, that mind reading, creating some kind of following or some powerful social movement? Or are you passively just trying to be part of the herd? So that's, to me, the difference between the two.
You have to realize the worst thing is to take everything personally and get emotional. So people who are psychotic bosses, their power is in grabbing your emotions and entangling you in a drama. They're better at it. They're more aggressive. They're nastier. They're more difficult. They're more amoral than you are. You're never going to win playing to their strengths. They thrive on making you emotional. So you have to learn, in general, in life, to stop taking things so emotionally. Now, it's not everything. I do want you to fall in love and have a family and love your children, etc. But in the work world, it pays to cool things down and to realize that it is never personal.